when Major League Baseball was taking over Los Angeles, so was R&B. It's just like heaven, being here with you. And the first Chicano heartthrob in East LA's R&B music scene was a man known as Little Julian Herrera. Little Julian recorded several local hits, but then he mysteriously disappeared. For years, music collector Gene Aguilera had been trying to locate Little Julian, but without a whole lot of success. But then Gene got a fresh lead, an email from someone in San Diego. The email was from a guy who said he had found Little Julian. In fact, he put Gene on the phone with Little Julian.
And it didn't sound like Little Julian. I mean, I was asking him questions, and he didn't really snap to the answer.
So he emailed Gene a photo, but the man didn't look like Little Julian.
When I pressed for more details, like, because I know Little Julian had a couple tattoos on his left arm, I said, take a picture of his left arm and send it to me, and it never happened. The whole thing went cold.
Reporter Alex Schmidt picks up the story now and tries to answer not just where is Little Julian, but who is Little Julian?
There are lots of legends about Little Julian Herrera, like the one that says he was murdered in LA's Elysian Park, or that he's not well, hanging onto a job at a gas station in National City, California. I almost would not have believed he was real if I hadn't talked to people who knew him personally. Oh, and there's also this concrete piece of existence, his music.
This is his first single right here.
That's collector Gene Aguilera again. We're in his meticulously appointed garage, covered in custom-made wooden shelves that are filled with more than 10,000 records. Gene's focus is on Chicano music and the music of East LA. Among his rare pieces is the record we're listening to now, Lonely, Lonely Nights, Little Julian Herrera's first single. It was released in 1956, 2 years before Ritchie Valens released his first single. Odds are you've never heard of Little Julian Herrera, but in certain circles, the man is infamous.
Every time I would talk to a musician, every time I would talk to a collector, no joke, within the first minute or two of our conversation, they would say, hey, you ever heard of Little Julian?
That's Josh Kuhn. He calls Little Julian Herrera the Bigfoot of Chicano music, which is his area of expertise as a writer and researcher at USC. And just like people have tried to spot Bigfoot, there's a search on for Little Julian Herrera. But let's go back to the beginning. Little Julian's Los Angeles story starts somewhere near here, in the Boyle Heights neighborhood east of the LA River. Like I've said, a lot about his past is unclear, but here's Gene Aguilera to sum up the legend of his arrival in LA.
He hitchhiked across the United States and ended up in Boyle Heights when he was 13. He got taken in by a Latino family in Boyle Heights whose last name was Herrera, and he assumed that last name of Herrera.
A few years later, Julian was a teenager. Mexican-American music was starting to emerge with an identity all its own. He might have grown up hearing Don Tosti's Pachuco Boogie or the father of Chicano music, Lalo Guerrero. East LA had a rockin' music scene, and Julian hung around. He met a few people, started performing, and soon he was recording his own songs.
Like when I first heard Little Julian, I go, wow, you know, this guy's a Chicano guy. I mean, Little Julian Herrera. And he's playing all the venues around here, El Monte Legion Stadium, playing up and down Whittier Boulevard. And I mean, I could relate to him, you know, he was one of us, you know.
Julian sang with swagger. His songs embodied the emerging lowrider culture of East LA and the romantic nights at clubs along the boulevard. He had become a celebrity in his own neighborhood.
Oh, hello.
Hi, you made it.
I made it.
Hi, come on in.
Thank you so much.
There aren't many people left who actually knew Little Julian Herrera. One of them is vibes player Gil Rocha, whose tidy house is in Lancaster, about an hour north of L.A. In 1958, Gil was the first bandleader to hire Ritchie Valens. Rocha would head to East L.A. several nights a week to get a piece of the action.
The East L.A. crowd seemed to really enjoy our music. There was times when they had to close the place, so they wouldn't let us quit playing. They insisted we would keep on playing. And they just seemed to party all night long.
One night, Gil Rocha was playing a gig at the Calypso Inn in East L.A. when an unexpected guest walked through the door.
Julian Herrera showed up and he said, "Hi, everybody, I'm Julian Herrera." I grabbed the microphone and the leader just stood and looked at him. And he says, "Yeah, I'm going to sing you a song." And everybody stood up and kind of stopped and looked because they knew who he was. So he sang a typical, whatever was popular song of the day there, jumped off the stage and started dancing. And it was really, to the people who was audience there, had never seen anything like this type of performance.
Was it at all like Elvis Presley?
No. It was wilder. And the girls were really, really impressed with what he was doing because it was so different for that era.
Rocha pulls out a black and white photo he took of that moment. Little Julian is standing alone on the dance floor with the band backing him on stage above. The photo's a little blurry, but Julian's facial expression is ecstatic, almost hypnotized.
I was sitting there watching him. I was looking at his face when he'd spin around. He had this big smile on his face and his big eyes looking around and making sure everybody was enjoying what he was doing. And they were.
That same solo and dance routine happened 3 or 4 times at the Calypso Inn while Gil was playing. As much as Julian enjoyed the stage, he loved to party. After the wild show was done, he'd reap his reward.
He jumped after he got through there. He jumped into the crowd and started shaking hands and talking to them. Of course, he was getting a lot of free beers from this. I think that's what he was really doing.
In the middle of this period of fame and partying, a cop shows up at the home of Little Julian's record producer, legendary R&B musician Johnny Otis. The cop was looking for a Caucasian man named Ronald Wayne Gregory. The photo he showed Otis, it was of Little Julian Herrera, and he was wanted for rape. Johnny Otis learned that Little Julian was, in fact, a Hungarian Jew from the East Coast. L.A. court records with any amount of detail pertaining to the incident are confidential. But here's what we know. Little Julian, or Ronald Gregory, was convicted along with 2 co-defendants of a rape that took place in Griffith Park. The victim was 17 years old. Julian was 19. The co-defendants were convicted of statutory rape. Julian's crime was forcible rape. He was sent to jail and took a long break from the stage. Julian's arrest provided the first real crack in the portrait he'd created for himself. But even before that, there had been hints that something wasn't quite right.
He smiled a lot. You know, he seemed to be happy in his skin, as the saying goes. And he didn't seem to have a job or anything. He was a little hard to find. You know, he didn't really have a phone number. And you'd see him when you see him, you know. He just seemed to kind of bounce along, you know, through life.
Yeah, Julian Herrera was bouncing through life, but on a much deeper level than LeBeau imagined. He was bouncing through cities, through families, through identities. As unique as Little Julian Herrera's experience seems to be, it's actually not. Cultural passing happens pretty frequently in the music world. Maz Mesro was a Jewish jazz musician who married a black woman and famously declared himself a voluntary Negro. In L.A., during Little Julian's era, well-known DJ Huggy Boy was white, but blended into the Latino community. Even Julian Herrera's own record producer, Johnny Otis, mixed 2 cultures. He was born Greek, but lived comfortably in the African-American community around L.A.'s Central Avenue. Where Julian lived, 1950s East L.A. and Boyle Heights specifically, was a uniquely diverse melting pot. It was one of the earliest Jewish communities of Los Angeles, and also one of the first Chicano and Japanese communities.
Say you're sorry, you'll make it up, and you'll come home.
This is one of Julian's songs, You Will Cry. In most of his songs, when he sings in English, he seems to use the accent of a Spanish speaker. In this particular song, he goes for it and sings in Spanish. Little Julian took the cultural mixing a step further than most. He hid something. Even people who were close to him had little notion of it.
How are you?
Fine, sweetie.
I met sax player Bernie Garcia at a diner. Though Bernie and Julian were friends, it was news to him when I explained that Julian Herrera's name was not actually Julian Herrera.
Do you know anything about little Julian's family or?
Nothing. Nothing. I never heard him talk about much except a few girls here and there. That was it.
Do you think he kept to himself about his personal life or it just never came up?
Yeah, I think he kept to himself about it. Because most musicians are open about stuff like that, and for whatever his reason was, yeah, it was personal to him.
After he got out of jail, little Julian sought out the adoring crowds once again. He played shows, recorded new songs, but things did not go well. There are rumors that Julian was drinking and violent, that he slept several nights in the basement of the El Monte Legion Stadium. One day, in 1963, Julian called up his friend Bernie.
In fact, he told me he had some legal problems and he had to get out of town for a while. I said, yeah, it makes sense.
Julian had set up a series of gigs in Tijuana and asked Bernie to join him. Bernie said yes. After a wild week of performing and partying, he decided it was time to head home. He didn't know it at the time, but this exchange would be the last confirmed sighting of little Julian Herrera. Collector Gene Aguilera and others are trying to find little Julian Herrera. If he's alive, he would be 74 years old. Whether he knew them personally or not, little Julian had a lasting impact on many. USC's Josh Kuhn again.
He's somebody whose voice wove its way into the lives of people, whose voice became part of a soundtrack to a community. And so he became more of a kind of cultural emblem than an entertainer.
That may be truer for Gene Aguilera than anyone else.
You know, if I found him, I think my soul would be at peace because it's been such a long time that I've been looking for him.
I still remember you.
That was producer Alex Schmidt. And we first ran that piece in 2014.